Hello, and welcome to another episode of Alec Mappa Hot Mess with Matthew Dempsey, psychotherapist. I did it. Matthew, I did the intro.
That was beautiful.
Yeah. I'm an actor and comedian. I live in Hollywood.
And I'm Matthew Dempsey, a multicultural counselor and psychotherapist.
You certainly are. So I just want to thank you for last week, the episode with my husband. Yes. My marriage is over.
what would you like listeners to know, maybe who haven't heard last week's episode?
Well, we talked about being in an open relationship.
Yes.
Last week. And it was part two. Because the first time we did it while you were on vacation.
That's right.
And you weren't there to facilitate. And then the second time, you're so good. This is what you do. Like, I was listening to the show in the car because I had I was working in Sylmar yesterday, of all places. And I had to drive out to location. So I had a lot of time to listen to past episodes. And I'm like a bull in a china shop. I'm like, I'll ask people like super personal questions like, what happened when you were five with your uncle? Go. And then you're so like, you'll say things like, do you feel comfortable sharing?
Mm-hmm.
Do you mind if I ask? You're like always asking for consent. And for somebody who's forthcoming anyway, the fact that you're asking two people who are, you know, exhibitionists anyway, kind of naturally, we're like, well, of course.
Yeah.
And I think afterwards we felt really, Jamie said his face felt really hot.
Yeah, how did yours feel?
I was okay.
Yeah.
I felt more exposed after the first one, and then and Jamie didn't listen to the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I listened to the first one, and to me, because we're talking about stuff that we've already worked through or are working through or are in a good place about, it didn't feel like that big a deal.
Yeah. I thought both of you did a great job. I love listening to the first show where you guys got to just talk to each other about just like generally your open relationship. Mm-hmm. And I loved getting to jump in on the second one where we got to talk about it. And as a listener too, and also a therapist, of course, I got to ask a few other questions and kind of dig a little bit deeper on some of the other stuff. You guys were fantastic. I mean, you guys embody what vulnerability is. You were very open. You were incredibly open. You were really raw and honest about everything that was going on. And it was just really great to hear on so many levels. And I kind of knew that you guys would both be that way. So, you know,
okay.
But also just asking, I think this is like a good rule of thumb for anybody. Anytime that you're talking to somebody and you're curious about stuff or you have some thoughts or ideas about stuff, just like ask, like, hey, do you mind telling me more about that? Hey, do you mind if I share what I think?
Do you just ask?
Just that little, the littlest bit of an invitation, like requesting an invitation, right? Putting it out there always opens people
up. Is that a professional skill? Is that something you've learned? Or is that just you?
Both. I'm sure somewhere along the way I've learned a little bit of it, but it's just like from a person to person thing. And also I know that I don't ever want somebody just automatically throwing their perspective at me. It's like, I didn't fucking ask for that. But when somebody says like, hey, do you mind if I just like chime in? Or I kind of had a thought, can I like share it? And you're like, oh my God, absolutely. Please. It makes a world of difference.
Do you mind if I share something that somebody sent me on Instagram? I won't say their name because I did not get consent but I will say what this, person wrote, love the Hot Mess Pod. I thought I wouldn't like the episode with you and your hubby since mine bailed on me after I birthed his baby and am feeling vulnerable, but I loved it so much. It gave me hope that one day I'll meet someone who sees my value and cares about me and thinks I'm worth fighting for the way you and Jamie put in the work for your relationship and family. Thanks for sharing. Happy tears listening to the recent episode.
See,
isn't
look
that
at that.
Lovely?
That's so lovely. And look at that. It doesn't even necessarily have to be specific to open relationships, but just the way that the two of you can have these kinds of conversations, and you do it publicly, obviously, here for everybody else, just to show what that kind of mutual respect and conversation and openness and trust and all of that looks like. You guys are fantastic.
Yeah. So I wrote back to her. I said, I'm so sorry about your husband leaving you after giving birth, but your comments about the podcast made my day.
Yes.
Jamie won't shut up about you, by the way. He just will not shut the fuck up about Matthew this, Matthew that. Eat his face.
Love that, Jamie.
Transference.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about last time that came up also was about drinking. Like you've mentioned this a few different times in our you shows, didn't
ask.
But
you didn't ask. You didn't ask if I wanted to talk about it. So now I'm like, my arms are crossed. I'm taking a very defensive posture. Hold on.
You didn't give me a chance. I was just saying that you brought it up a few different times, and I'm curious, how would you feel about maybe exploring a little bit more about some of the parts of your decision?
Is this how you're like when you're getting somebody into bed? Are you like, would you mind taking off all your clothes and doing a helicopter for me?
Yes, that's very sexy.
I gave up drinking 4 months ago, mm-hmm. and it's something I've done before, but like years passed, and and it's because my drinking did get out of hand during mm-hmm. the pandemic, mm-hmm. Because every night was Friday, and then I found when things started to open up again in June, and I actually started driving places, and my mm-hmm. son came out of his room, what the behavior I was doing on a daily basis was not sustainable. So yes, right. I have been, and it's been challenging. It's been, and I'd be glad to talk about it, yes. My alcoholism today on the hot, I mean, it's called the hot mess after all.
Yes, yes. Okay, great. So maybe we can dig into that a little bit.
Have you ever had a moment, Matthew, where you were like, okay, I like to party and everything, but that was too much?
Yes, and I for sure it was definitely over the last year or two really? With everything that's been going on. Well, yeah, I could just tell, you know, that maybe I was drinking a little bit more. I like weed, so smoking a little bit more, you know, and I could just kind of tell. Most of the time I consider myself very kind of much like, you know, like I'm a happy drinker, you know, and I usually have a great time, and it's usually just kind of help elevate the mood mm-hmm. Of where I'm already at. But
what kind of booze?
I kind of like it all. So it just depends on what mm-hmm. the right vibe is. If it's mm-hmm. a chill little dinner thing, maybe some wine. If I'm going out for like a proper dinner, maybe I'll let you have a few tequila drinks, whatever.
Right.
But tequila
and wine is my thing. Tequila and wine.
Yeah. But I noticed over the last year or two that I was starting to use it to escape a little bit more. It was just kind of like, oh, this week was a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm so ready to like hang out with friends and just totally let loose. Mm-hmm. And so there was much more of that. I could just really sense that was my intention. And I was having, it was less about elevating the mood and having more fun. And it was more about kind of just trying to like, you know, decompress or escape
right,
a little bit.
Right.
So I could feel the difference of it. I could feel the difference in the intention and also kind of how I felt from it. And like, you know, and was probably doing it a little bit more regularly.
Wow. And you were cognizant of it while that was happening.
Cognizant of it. Yeah. So there were a few moments where I really had to kind of just like, you know, kind of, pull back a little bit.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Would you mind if we went to a commercial break before discussing this?
Absolutely. Oh my God. Thank you so much for asking, Alex. Absolutely. For sure.
Whatever you want now. I hate you. All right. Matthew and I will discuss my problem with booze right after this very important commercial break. Also, this is a mental health podcast where we really kind of, we let our hair down here big time. If you're tuning back, welcome. Thank you so much. We're so glad that you're here. And if you're listening for the first time, don't forget to download and subscribe. And we'll be right back after these important messages.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
And we're back talking about booze and the whys and wherefores. When you said something really interesting right before we went to commercial, you said you knew your intention was different. And yeah. I think that's the reason why I quit. is because I knew my intention was different, because I know I was drinking because, one, we were in a pandemic. And right. It was frightening and I was scared. I have a black son and a lot of the George Floyd stuff was happening.
Oh, yeah.
Trump was still president. And that was like a daily stress test.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Daily.
Yes.
And it also was unprecedented. So I mm-hmm. was afraid. And I remember even telling Jamie, all I have to do is hold on till 4.
Right.
And then at 4, I'm going to drink something that makes me not give a shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
And every night, but it became every night.
Yeah.
I would say every night from 4 to 10.
Okay. So first of all, how are we defining intention?
Intention, why we're doing something.
Yeah.
Like my intention was to numb out, to anesthetize yeah. myself from what was happening in the world.
Yeah, and for sure.
And, but it became, I'm not kidding, 7 days a week. And we saw our MasterCard bill for our booze and it yeah. was thousands of dollars because we were going through, you know, some kind of, what was it, babe, Drizzly? We were using Drizzly or something.
And app just to order yes. it?
And we never said no. We never like went, oh, well, you know, it's too much. Or we just went full throttle.
Yeah. So at what point did you start to realize truly what the intention was around kind of like escapism?
Oh, from the beginning. From the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew.
So what happened though? What was the inevitable breaking point where you realized like, okay, this intention is way too off and now I just need to actually
make a change here? I was not, my son is a lot. Being a parent is a lot.
Yeah.
And you have to be, in order to make good decisions in your interactions with your kids, you have to be present for that. And, mm-hmm. you know, the pandemic kind of lined up in the time where psychologically my son would have retreated to his room anyway. 15, 16 years old. They never leave their rooms. So I would see him at breakfast and then we'd have a poker night every Friday. And I would be completely present for that. And then the rest of the time it was like, let's have a drink, right? So the world starts to open up. My son's leaving the room. All of a sudden we're having to drive places, right? It was in June. And I really got that I'm not going to be good at this. What I'm doing is not sustainable. I'm not reacting to my son in a way that I would in soberly. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not making good decisions in my interactions with him, because with kids, you really have to listen and you mm-hmm. have to react appropriately in terms of, especially when there's a conflict. It's what being a parent has taught me is you can't be reactionary.
Right.
You can't have a knee jerk response. You really have to think about things.
Were you starting to realize that you were reacting much more?
Yeah. I was really kind of like turning into my dad. I was kind of cranky and snappish and dismissive and almost, you know, disrespectful,
mm-hmm.
not respectful of my son's voice and who he is as a person in a way that I would be when I'm sober.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of sounds like that it was lining up with, like you said, once everything started to open back up, it was when you started mm-hmm. to realize some of the shifts that were happening, that you were drinking mm-hmm. too much, that you were a little bit more mm-hmm. reactionary, you were a little bit more like your dad and snappy. And like that was the thing.
I was really fat. I was fat.
Just like you were not fat.
When you're drinking all the time, like, no, I'm not kidding. I've lost like 10 pounds or more. My pants were at, I normally wear like a 31, 32 on a really good day, 29. Yeah. But I had my 32 inch pants, my fat pants, they were completely tight. I couldn't close them. I mean, it was bad.
Right.
It was bad.
Okay.
That was unhealthy.
Was it just a culmination of these events, or was there like a specific moment that happened where you were like, okay, too much?
It was a moment. I had an argument with my son where I was too sloppy to have a real discussion, and it turned into a full blown argument.
Oh.
And it did not. And the worst part of it was the next day I didn't remember all of it.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So that was
I was like, that was like, okay, now it's, you know, with just me and Jamie, Jamie could have, you know, there were times during the pandemic where Jamie would pull me aside and go, all right, you were kind of a lot last night.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You were, because I get like really reactionary when I'm drunk. Like I'll go, give me a hug. And he's like, I don't feel like hugging you. Then it turns into, I universalize it. Like, you don't love me. You know what I mean? It's yeah. like, and that's fine with my husband. He could take it. He could make the adjustment. And he could also tell me, can you cool it? You know?
Yeah.
But with a kid, it's like, it's not who I want to be. It doesn't yeah. line up with who I want to be as a person.
Totally. Jamie yeah. stopped drinking with you. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. What was that? Was that, it sounded like that might have been a conversation. Like how'd that go?
We both, it meant so much to Jamie for me to kind of pull it together mm-hmm. that he said, I'm going to do this also. Yeah. I need to do this also. So he quit too.
Yeah.
And I've quit before. I mean, when I met Jamie, I wasn't drinking. I didn't drink from 1999, from 2000 to 2005. I didn't drink at all.
Okay, wait, can we just like pause right there for a second? And I'm just kind of curious. Maybe we can kind of like define some of this stuff for uh-huh. ourselves and for the listeners too, you know, because mm-hmm. we kind of like throw words around like sober and just not drinking. And mm-hmm. but there's a difference
between-
I'm not
saying sober. I'm saying I'm just not drinking. I'm not drinking alcohol.
Okay.
Yeah. I think sobriety kind of like, there's a whole other- you know, I'm not going to meetings. I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of holding myself accountable.
Sure. Right. Like sobriety mm-hmm. is something that generally references more of like being in, you know, being in a program yeah. and go through meetings. Like you've talked mm-hmm. about sex mm-hmm. and love, mm-hmm. Addiction Anonymous and, mm-hmm. you know, being sober in that way. But drinking, that's something that you would call like dry, like you're just not drinking.
That's right.
What was it in the past? What was it that made you decide to just not drink?
In the past, again, intention, in 1999, that was a really tough year. I was really depressed and I remember saying, I'm going to get fucked up.
Yeah.
I want to get fucked up. I'm going to go to this party. I'm going to get fucked up.
Right.
And that kind of became.
The intention was to like blackout.
The intention was to blackout. And I did. I had nights in Washington, D.C. where I woke up in my hotel room and I was like, I was doing a play at the arena stage and we'd all get wasted after the show.
Right.
And a couple times did you ever get so drunk that you woke up someplace and you're like, I don't know how I got home?
Yes. Yes, I did.
That's kind of scary. Like yeah. I didn't remember how I got home.
Yeah. Yep. It is kind of scary. There was one time, oh my God, I can't believe I'm going to tell this story, but I will.
Okay,
there was
go
one
ahead.
Time.
Do you feel comfortable sharing?
I don't know. We'll find
okay,
out.
All right.
There was one time, this was years ago. I want to say probably, I don't know, 12 years ago or so. And I had a friend who was, I was living in New York, but I had a friend who was up in Brandeis, kind of outside of, okay. was at Boston. Mm-hmm. And so I went to go visit him for the weekend and we had a day where we're just hanging out and, you know, at night, then we were, you know, making dinner and, you know, we had a few beers and then we had a few glasses of wine and we were like, let's go out. Like tonight we're going out, right? We're going to go dancing, whatever. And so we went to the Roxy. I don't know if it exists there anymore, but Roxy in Boston.
I remember. Yeah.
In Boston. And
I love that place.
So we went there, just the two of us. And we, you know, got a few mixed drinks and we're dancing around, having a good time. And to be honest with you, I don't really remember drinking that much, but I suppose maybe it was just kind of a variety of drinks over the course of a night.
Yeah.
But then at one point, my one friend said, I'm going to go to the bathroom, stay right here. I'll be right back. I said, sure. He left out of nowhere. This group of like maybe three or four guys kind of came around. And he was like, hey, what's going on? Who are you? What's your name? And so we just started.
You want
started,
to play with us?
Yeah, you want to play with us? And so I was hanging out like, hey, what's up? And so we were, you know, whatever. And I, to be honest with you, I'm also not sure if they put something in my drink because things went kind of dark from that moment on.
Shit went
and,
sideways.
And I just have a few flashes of memories after that where I was.
Did they roofie you? Did you?
I don't know, but I left the bar. I would never do this. I left the bar without my friend. I just left uh-huh. him there. Uh-huh. I left with these guys. I have a memory of being in a car with them. And then I have a memory of being in somebody's living room, having like another drink. And then the next memory I have, I'm in the bedroom with the like, you know, three of them or whatever. We're all like naked and just kind of tossing around.
Rolling around.
And that's it. And the next morning I woke up and it was one of those like eyes open, kind of like look to my left, naked guy, look to my right, naked guy. And I'm like, holy shit. like, okay, Matt, don't freak out. Don't freak out. Let's just get up. We're going to get up. We're going to put our clothes on. We're going to go to the bathroom. You know, when you like walk yourself through like a moment like
that.
And I'm like, what happened? And so anyway, and then I, you know, come out of the bathroom and one guy standing there and he was just like, I have a car. I can take you wherever you need to go. And I'm like, okay. And of course I'm like looking at my phone, text messages from my friend.
Are
he's like, where are you? Where
the fuck are you? In a place that you remember. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So
what time is it?
And so now it's like 7, 8 in the morning,
okay,
whatever.
Right. Okay.
You know, and so I'm going through my phone and I see the like lengthy messages, one right after the other of my friend. Where are you? Are you okay? What's going on? You know, I'm going to go stay at my friend's place, whatever, whatever. Message me in the morning. And so I message my friend and I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And so I met up with him and we went back and I was just like, I don't know what happened. And he was like, what the fuck? And so that was that night. And so, you know, all of this is just kind of an anecdote of what you're asking where, I woke up one morning and was like, I have no idea how I got here.
I don't remember how but you do. You got in a car and you left with everybody and you remember rolling around.
Barely. But when I tell you, it was just like a flash of a memory, you know, for each of these moments of what amounted to an entire night. It's
So. I mean, that's the thing. It's kind of like my own physician said, you know, I said the weight gain, we were talking about the weight gain during a physical and she goes, it's the booze. She broke it down in terms of calories. All right. You know, like a glass of wine is 250 calories. And I said, well, a bottle is like 4 or 5 really kind of, you know, and so like 1,000 calories. And she went through, she goes, be honest with me, how much do you, you know, drink. And I was honest. She went, whoa. Cause you know, 4 to 10 every night, she said, you're probably having like 2000 to 3000 empty calories.
Yeah.
Night. So my body did reflect that. My waking up and not remembering the night before is not as sexy as yours. It's actually a really horrible, horrible story. And I'm going to share it with you because you were generous enough in sharing yours.
Yes. Oh, that's so, would you mind? Would you mind actually sharing the story? No,
thank you for asking.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
As my clothes start flying off. So I was in my favorite trampy thing to do in New York when I was at NYU was flirt with a waiter and wait for them to get off and then go home with the waiter or something. You know, that would just kind of happen during, did that ever, you know, you meet somebody or anyway.
I never really did that. I'm not kind of as ballsy as that, but I love that for you. Go ahead.
So so the waiter's cute. My dinner party breaks up. I'm just hanging out at the bar and we're talking and there's definitely a vibe between us.
Yeah.
But in order to wait for him, and I live in Brooklyn, so I'm kind of like, I'm just going to hang out here. Yeah. I'm already kind of drunk. I keep drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking until he gets off. But the time that he's getting off is getting later and later.
Yep.
I remember going home with him. I remember messing around. And then I woke up the next morning, the sunlight is coming through, and he's a complete hoarder.
Oh, no.
There's garbage everywhere. Oh, there's like newspapers stacked up to the ceiling. I'm like, I don't remember that all. And when I woke up, I was like, like that kind of like, what am I doing?
Panic. Yeah.
And then just kind of sifting through this kind of junkyard to find my clothes to get out. That was spooky.
Yeah.
That was
totally.
How did I spend all, first of all, how did I have sex? Like in a more sober moment, you know, it would have been like, no, thanks. I'm just
going to
go home.
Well, you know, it's so interesting though, because, you know, we're spending a good amount of time talking about like all the things that are problematic about it, right? Like we're waking up, we don't know where we are. Mm. You know, we kind of don't remember certain things.
Oh, is this the part where we talk about the good stuff?
Oh, yeah. But I mean, even talking about like the caloric intake and weight gain that can happen and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But when you think about it, some of the things that we're actually talking about, like kind of drinking, it's like there's so much around, you know, kind of like struggling to know how to maybe manage a social situation and just kind of going out there and feeling uncomfortable. It's easy to just kind of sip on a drink and kind of get the courage, you know, and quiet the noise of shame down and kind of our, you know, our minds spinning as much as they might. You know, even same thing with some of the stuff that you've been talking about recently over the last year, that there's just so much kind of uncertainty and a lot of shit that gets spun up for us. It helps just quiet down the anxiety of that.
Yes.
And when we're taking that approach to it, it's understandable because it can be overwhelming and really anxiety producing, but it's never really giving us a greater opportunity to develop more of that inner strength for us to be able to be, you know, kind of process some of what we're thinking, to understand maybe some of the shit that's getting spun up, and also strengthen our ability to, you know, kind of neutralize things for ourselves, you know, kind of regulate our nervous system.
Alec, this is a note from our, we have our producer talks to us in chat. She's amazing.
Yes.
Alec made a joke about his alcoholism in quotes. Is that tongue in cheek? How does a person know when they have a problem? It is kind of tongue in cheek and it's kind of not, I knew I had a problem because I had to make a choice. Again, like what Jamie and I talked about last week, it was like, I had to put my family first.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're having to make that choice, then you probably do have a problem. And by you, I mean me.
Mm-hmm.
So the first week I quit, I really did feel as if my – and I cold turkey. I just stopped drinking.
Yeah.
I really did feel like my skin had been flayed. I felt really – because I'm feeling things that I didn't feel.
Yeah.
And what I've grown conscious of in the past couple – in the past 4 months is that life is really annoying.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of why I was drinking. I'm just a generally annoyed person. Like, it's like, oh geez, now what? You know, just reading the news and having to do all the things that having to show up for all of the adulting that I have to do is just kind of like, I don't have the escape anymore. And now I do have to feel the discomfort. But what I've learned, if we're talking about a positive thing, is I can take it.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I can feel annoyed, but I also have the wherewithal to know that it's going to pass.
Totally.
You know, but,
for sure.
but it was kind of like, I'm no longer in anesthesia, you know, and I'm feeling everything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think probably, you know, kind of a good gauge on alcoholism. First of all, this is a very kind of individual, you know, kind of identity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one to check in on. And some of the things that we want to check in on are, how much is this impacting my ability to function on a daily level?
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's really kind of impacting our, you know, significantly, then we might want to check in. But, you know, some people still might be able to be high functioning and can still kind of get through their day and do what they need to do.
Yes.
But also, you know, might struggle with alcoholism. If you're starting to kind of notice some stuff, if you're starting to notice some of this, some of these issues that are coming up, then it's time to talk to somebody. And, you know, and there are ways of just checking in. Again, this isn't something that somebody, you know, you go to a doctor and somebody says, yes, you are an alcoholic,
right?
It's something that you have to be able to search for within yourself and see if that resonates with you. And we don't necessarily have to make that decision right now and say, yes, okay, now I need to stop and change, but we can start just doing some research and experimenting, maybe check in on therapy.
Mm-hmm.
A good rule of thumb is also just going, to, meetings, just checking out, just finding out about maybe some meetings.
Meetings are great. I'm not poo-pooing meetings because it really was like a Sexing Love Anonymous.
Yeah.
Meetings and working that program that really got me out of what I was in. And when you talk about like, my life has become unmanageable.
Mm-hmm.
My life was unmanageable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great point, great time to check in and, go and do a handful of meetings, a handful of different meetings, just to kind of get a different sense of the different vibes of meetings that exist out there. So you can actually give a fair chance to see if there's any of them that you might connect to, and see if it's something that resonates with you. But again, that's an individual decision. So start doing some research.
What meetings are great for is you really become an expert at other people's problems. you go to a meeting and, well, you know what your problem is you have such a deficit of self-esteem that you're trying to fill yourself up from the outside. I mean, it kind of, and then you're like, oh, that's me.
Yeah. You find community, you identify with people who maybe kind of struggle in the same ways. And then you get to see, you know, kind of versions of yourself.
Yeah. And I think that the habitualness of like, I have an addictive personality. If it's not sex, it was cigarettes. If it was not cigarettes, it was pills. Like, I've quit so many things, you know, and now I've been crafting.
Okay. So what have you noticed then? How long has it been that you've been not drinking this time?
4 months.
Wow. 4 months. Congratulations.
Time, thank you. Thank you for applause.
Yes.
Last time I quit, it was for 5 years. I quit for 5 years. So who knows?
All right. So what have you noticed in the last 4 months then? You know, you're talking about some of the issues of drinking and, you know, kind of barking at your son and things like that. So how has it been going in the last 4 months?
Here's the great thing. I'm not I was never a good sleeper. Mm-hmm. Like, it takes me a while to fall asleep. And if somebody walks into the room, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Then I have to start all over again.
Right.
I fall asleep faster now. And I sleep throughout the entire night. And I did not do that with alcohol. There must have been something with the sugar or something. I sleep. Clothes fit better. Yeah. I'm a better listener to my kid. I'm more in tune with my family. My son and I are getting along so well. I am, Jamie and I are listening to each other, and, I'm not drinking and cooking. You should never fry chicken when you're drunk. FYI.
You get splattered?
Yes.
No.
On my shoulder, I have scars from this where I fried chicken drunk. That was just like I dropped the chicken in and it splashed. And I was like, ow!
So you're avoiding third degree burns. That's a great upside to setting down a drink. Very nice.
But there's just an awareness that I didn't have when I was drinking. And the thing is, like, I knew I was drinking too much.
Yeah.
I absolutely knew it. All the math added up.
Yeah.
My doctor told me more than two drinks a night is a lot. And I was
It is.
So 20 is a lot, huh?
So yes, there's all the great things. Everything's going well. I love that. One thing you said is that you have more of an awareness of things now. That's the exact reason why a lot of people drink, is to not be aware of some shit that can come up. What have been some of the challenging things, like the things that you normally just kind of wanted to numb out to? What have been the annoying things that have come up that have been challenging, that have presented kind of like newer challenges of being present with?
Yesterday, Jamie had a really challenging day at work, all right, where everything comes in at once. And we all have days like that, right? I'll have weeks like that where everything is happening. Like after months of tranquility, a sea of tranquility, all of a sudden your life is just a shitstorm. And my awareness has been that my drinking was just about like, I don't want to think about it.
Yeah.
I don't want to think about it. And now I have to really kind of, because thinking about things and experiencing things takes time.
Yeah.
It takes time. It takes consciousness. And what was the question again?
All right, wait. Okay, think of a specific example of something, and it could be a small thing, but something that happened recently where you noticed your shit was kind of getting stirred up, you were feeling irritable and annoyed, and it would be the thing that normally you'd be like, I need that 4 o'clock to roll around so I can have a drink, but you haven't, and you handled it differently. What's an example of that?
My son had a challenging day in school, and for whatever reason, he was in a bad mood, and so I was having to manage his mood and take him to all of his appointments in the afternoon. And then dealing with, we worked on a construction site. Our whole backyard, we're building an apartment back there. Just the day was a lot. It was a lot. And I just felt like, oh, just a margarita or a glass or a bottle of rosé, rosé would just take the edge off of all of this.
Right.
That's when I have to go take a breath.
Yeah.
Those are the most challenging times.
Okay.
Because it's such an easy fix. Oh, here's the other thing. I was coming back from that movie in Utah, in Salt Lake City, and I was tired. I was so tired, and my flight was delayed, and I was walking through the airport. And you know, Utah, there's the bars are terrible. They really make drinks. But in the airport, there's a bar every 10 feet. Everybody believes in alcohol and Jesus at the airport. And every bar was one of those kind of like microbrewery, you know, where, you know, big kind of tall glass of beer. And I was like, I'm tired and I'm alone and I just want to go home and I'm feeling lonely and I'm by myself. How easy would it be to just have a big thing of beer? Like the beer just looks so good. I just wanted it. That was
really
hard. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, especially when there's just a lot of shit that you're getting hit with and just feeling exhausted. Right. You just can just feel like general stress. But the thing that you said also about being at the airport or on the plane is like, everybody believes in Jesus and alcohol. It's like an easy thing to default to, especially when there's a lot of fear that comes up, right? Yeah. Like flying and whatever.
Yeah.
So what in kind of all the different examples that you're just giving, aside from just the baseline stress, like what was maybe some of the fear, some of the kind of like the deeper shit that was getting triggered for you in a moment like that?
Life is overwhelming.
Uh-huh.
That maybe I'm not equipped to handle this. Maybe this is a bigger task than I'm capable of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Bigger test than you're capable of. Yeah. Well, but interesting because you're talking about like, you know, being capable. It's a bigger test than being capable of. And you're kind of talking about how like you're either taking care of everyone and everything, like Jamie had a hard week, construction site outside, your son, and just kind of your own shit. Or you're on your own and you're like in the airport and you're just kind of doing your own thing because you just came back from a job and you're like completely on your own. So like, is there something in that? Like, is there kind of a caregiving thing? Is there a lack of care from people? Like what's kind of like the deeper trigger for you in moments when like that shit feels overwhelming?
You know, I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. It is kind of a lonely feeling. It is kind of a lonely feeling of like this is up to me or this is all on my shoulders. Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of actually feel a version of that too. I've been feeling a little bit burnt out. We were kind of talking privately before the show started, but I've been kind of feeling burnt out. And, you know, I also recognize how much for myself, very similarly to what you're describing, I'm like, my whole fucking life is centered around taking care of people. I mean, even this podcast is about like trying to have answers for people and, you know, being supportive and uplifting. And that's what I do several times a day throughout the entire week.
But you can't give what you don't have.
You can't give what you don't have.
Yeah.
It's easier. And it's also, I know for myself, it feels easier for me to just kind of overindulge in that. Like, I'm going to take care of people. I can do this because I do it well. And it feels good to, you know, to feel good about doing what I do and all that stuff. It's a little bit more challenging sometimes for me to ask for help. And so what I wind up doing sometimes is maybe just kind of like isolating. You know, I just kind of, I'm like, I just want to be alone. I don't want to deal with anybody.
Right.
But there's a part, there's a deeper part of that, that I think really does kind of tap into my own fear of like maybe being unlovable. Like, you know, maybe people are more invested or interested in me when I have something to give them, when I can take care of them.
That I have to be this in order to be lovable.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. That, I think that's it. That's it. You know, that's the answer, is that if I don't show up for this life in the way that I'm supposed to show up.
Right.
If I'm not as dependable as I could be, if I'm not as funny as I could be, if I'm not the best parent or best father or best friend, then I'm going to fall short. And then it's just going to be me. It's just going to be me. I've been really, really vulnerable. And the biggest part of it about this, the biggest vulnerability that I've experienced in the past 4 months, is I'm embarrassed.
Yeah. Embarrassed about what?
I'm embarrassed about that I have a problem. I'm embarrassed that I that it had to get, because it's such a cliche. Do you know? And, you know, and I'm not the only person. I mean, everybody had drank during the pandemic and everything.
Right.
But,
yep.
But for me, it kind of, because I have been talking about it out loud and I do feel shame about, I'm kind of a mess.
Yeah.
I have problems that needed to be looked at. It's admitting the fault has been liberating and embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's both of those things.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm embarrassed right now.
Are you?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. Yeah.
What does it feel like it means that as you
it feels own this stuff? Like, okay, like it's not funny.
Yeah.
It's not like do 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 do. It's not like I feel like you say, like I'm here to uplift people. I want to you know, be there for people. I want people to know that we're a safe space and they could talk about stuff. And then it's kind of, but I guess it's like in sharing my own vulnerabilities, it gives other people the space to go, okay, well, I'm not so bad because that bitch is a mess.
Exactly. And that's the whole point of this, isn't it? That's why we have these conversations.
I mean,
so we can be open and vulnerable.
Kind of like, I mean, I know that when other people have opened up to me, first of all, I felt really honored that they took me into their confidence.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And then it's kind of like, it's made me move in closer to them. Kind of like, oh, well, thanks for sharing that with me. I mean, there's very rare that it's ever repulsed me where I've been like, okay, bye, too much. You know, I hardly ever feel that way.
And it just normalizes things for everybody. It normalizes things for the person being vulnerable. It normalizes things for people who are listening and who can inevitably empathize and relate. You know, and so that's what's just so like, oh, thank God. Like, oh, see, I'm not alone.
So when you're burnt out and somebody asks for help, what's your reaction? What is that like? Is it you're just like, oh, Jesus?
Like,
how do you know when you've overextended yourself?
That's a good question. Yeah. And I think that I haven't been as keenly aware of that. So I'm still kind of sorting through some of that for myself and figuring it out. One way that I know is that I get sick. So last week I got really sick and it was my body.
You were sick last week.
I was really sick last week. Yeah, like really, really sick. And I tested for COVID and the flu and it was neither of those. It was just a really bad cold. Nobody else around me got sick. So it was very confusing to me. But I realized just how much, you know, my body was just kind of powering down because I was just overextending myself with, you know, kind of work stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
So that's kind of in the extreme when I'm aware of it.
That's a physiological symptom. Do you ever totally. Have like an emotional reaction to like
yes.
somebody's asking for something or you're in a session and you just feel like, oh.
Just aware of the fact that I feel fatigued. Mm-hmm. I can feel myself starting to dissociate a little bit. Like I just kind of like slowly pull back. I'm like, you know, giving baseline. And I get irritable. I get really irritable.
Yeah.
Like it was a couple nights ago. I was staying over this guy who I'm dating. And I stayed over his place. And the next morning I woke up to find that my car had been towed because I overlooked, you know, one of the many trillion signs that they post up around LA about
fair.
Parking
yeah.
rules.
Yeah, no.
And I overlooked it. And so I was 2 hours past the like, no, you
towed.
Know, the tow thing. And so, and I could feel I could feel myself wanting to like turn on him being like, how come you didn't have a parking pass? Like, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I'm really aware that if I want to start doing that, I know that that's just my own shit. It just means I'm exhausted. Mm. It means that I,
you didn't turn on him.
No, I didn't because I'm aware enough to know it's like, Matt, this you want to do this and you know this isn't going to be good for anybody. So you better fucking eat this.
Jamie
and
I turn
chill.
On each other constantly. That's why I'm just kind of like.
Yeah. But so anyway, I just got like a little bit quieter and I just whatever. But yeah, I could feel myself getting more irritable. So I know that all of that stuff is a good indication for me that I've kind of overexerted myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then instead of just kind of keeping quiet about it, I can open up about it. I can share here. I can open up and talk to the guy I'm dating about just how I'm feeling instead of barking at him about a parking
pass.
Right.
Right.
You know, being kind of vulnerable in that way is the thing that actually helps to deconstruct the shame that we have as opposed to feeding that beast.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
What are you doing?
What do you mean?
Keep it simple.
I'm making the promo.
Just keep it simple. Just say, hey, we're the Brav Bros, two guys that talk about Bravo.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we're the Brav Bros.
No.
Oh.
Dude, stop with the voice. Just keep it simple.
I've seen promos on TV, dude. This is how you get the fans engaged. This is how you get listeners. We're trying to get listeners here. If we just say, oh, we're two dudes that talk about Bravo, people are going to get tired of it already. We need some oomph.
All right, then fine. Let's try to do it with your voice.
Brav Bros.
Good job.
When was the last time have you had a shameful moment recently where you felt a little bit of shame ever?
Oh, God.
You're kind of like, do you feel comfortable sharing a moment where you felt ashamed?
I do. I'm just struggling to think of one right
your
now.
Your cheeks
but
are so
sure.
red right now. You're like, you're blushing.
No, they're not.
Yes, yeah.
No,
yeah,
they're
yeah,
not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am
like
not
shiny
blushing.
Red apples.
No.
All right. Well, I just saved you because we're at the end of the show. We have to get
perfect. Okay, good.
Whew. Yeah, no, I have been dealing with my own embarrassment about it because I just feel, and the embarrassment is not that I'm not perfect because I know that I'm not, is kind of feeling like I may have let people down.
Right.
I feel embarrassed about that. I feel embarrassed and ashamed that I kind of let my kid down.
Yeah.
We have a family therapy session once every month, all three of us as a family, which is really, really great. And in one of those sessions, my son did tell me that he really appreciates all that we're doing in
aww.
Terms of like, cause yeah, he goes, I know it doesn't, people don't always keep their promises, and to see my dad's keep their promise about this.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, and I was like, fuck, now I really can't drink. Okay. So this is weird. I'm going to do my hot message first.
Go for it.
Cause usually it's you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's usually you. you know, we talk a lot about DBT in this show, dialectical behavioral therapy, which is a system of tools, you know, self-awareness. They're psychological kind of like emergency tools you can resort to. Mm-hmm. And one of the biggest ones that I've used is riding the wave.
Mm, yeah.
When I feel angry or embarrassed or anything, because, you know, a lot of my drinking was to escape how I was feeling. Now when I have an unpleasant emotion, unpleasant feeling, I literally say in my head, ride the wave. Literally say it, ride the wave, because ride the wave means feel it, get into it, and you know it's going to pass. That's what waves do.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how big the wave is, when it crashes to the shore, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know? And I was afraid of doing that before.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's too big. The wave's too big. I'm going to drown. It's going to kill me. And it hasn't killed me. It's kind of like, okay, all right, you can do it. You can do it. So ride the wave of whatever unpleasant emotion you have to do.
Yeah.
Because that's what daddy's doing right now.
I love that. You can't fight a wave back. Otherwise you'll get pummeled by it. So might as well just ride it. Yep.
That's right.
I love that. I would say maybe my hot message is, and this is kind of a mantra that I use for myself, which is baseline is enough. Baseline is enough. Because there are days when
baseline is enough.
Baseline is enough. And what that means is that there are days, like today's one of them, where I just kind of feel like I'm tapped. I don't have any juice, right? And there's that part of me.
You've just been talking to me for 45 minutes and you're tapped?
And in my opinion, I'm not really giving the best performance here. So this is some shit that gets triggered for me. This feels kind of like a shameful moment, like in real time, to be honest, because I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. Maybe is this a throwaway episode for us or for me anyway?
How
I don't know.
Dare you?
Because
Matthew
so this
said he was
going
to be there for me today and he totally phoned it in.
I gave you baseline and that's the point.
Baseline is enough.
No, but listen, so this is the thing, you know, because there are moments, especially, I think a lot of us, all of us can relate to this. I think, especially kind of us queer people, where we feel as though that we need to give above and beyond in order to just break even.
Yes.
And I think that it's really important to remember that baseline is enough. If we're showing up, if we're at least showing up and giving the best that we can, but like actually showing up, that's baseline. Baseline is enough. We're trained to believe that we're already inadequate, that we're already not enough. So it feels subpar. And so that's the mantra for me, is that when I'm feeling kind of out of juice and I feel like I'm not going to be able to like give my absolute best, it doesn't mean that I'm inadequate. It just means that it's a baseline day. And so baseline is enough.
Okay. I got to tell you, your baseline isn't enough. I feel empty. I didn't believe a word. No, I'm kidding. You're wonderful today. Now your baseline is pretty terrific.
Thank you so much.
That's going to be something I struggle with, Matthew. That's going to be a hard one. Baseline is enough.
Because I feel like
I have to be Wonder Woman most of the time.
I hear you.
And that's exhausting.
Yeah.
Anyway, listen, folks, where can we find you on your socials, big boy?
You can find me at MJ Dempsey Psych on Instagram, Twitter, Matthew J. Dempsey Psychotherapy on Facebook.
You can find me at Baseline is Enough, MJ Dempsey. I'm going to give my full 40%.
I'll have you know, 40% of kidney functioning is still defined as healthy kidney functioning. So everybody give your 40% and then take a nap.
You can find me at Alec Mop on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find us both at the Hot Mess Pod. We love hearing from you.
Yes.
Whoever sent that lovely note in, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. We're so grateful to all our listeners. So tell your friends about the show and tune in next week. We're going to have more Hot Mess fun. Goodbye.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Stage 29 podcast production. The podcast is executive produced by Patty Ciano, Lafern Cusack, and Stephanie Kaysen. Our audio editors are Jackson Ruff and Jonathan DeMatti. Callie Kelts is the social media producer, and a special thanks to the rest of our podcast crew, Rwani Horinage, William Cusack, Lisa Clark, Katie Brown, and Morgan Kaler.
This podcast has been produced by Stage 29 Productions for entertainment purposes only. The contents of this podcast does not constitute medical or professional advice, do not reflect the opinions of this company, any of its parent companies, affiliates, subsidiaries, promotional sponsors, or advertising agencies. The views expressed by the hosts and guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. For more information, please go to stage29.tv.